Take it two.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Cameron.
And I'm Bradley.
And welcome to the newest podcast on the block, Take Two.
Take Two.
What have we got this week?
This fine Friday afternoon. Well, I think that we might talk about some pretty weird internet stories.
Really? What have we got?
What have we got?
We have got this really strange story, right? Happened in the US a few days ago.
Everything happens in the US, I've noticed, Bradley. Nothing interesting ever happens in Australia, it's just in the US.
I know, but at least we've got the sanity on our hand. Basically, there was this guy who thought it would be cool, firstly, to own a zebra and also a parrot.
What?
Exactly.
A zebra and a parrot.
An old man who sort of looks like Albus Dumbledore on crack.
Actually, I'm sorry, this isn't a visual medium, it's an audio medium, but I think he looks a lot like Ollivander from Harry Potter.
Now, let's not get stuck into some gay shit here, because a lot of people don't like Harry Potter, because they like Twilight.
Okay, no. We'll try and keep this as far away from Harry Potter as we possibly can, although it will come back to that one stage, but let's continue. So,
anyways,
a parrot and a zebra.
Yes, this guy had a parrot and a zebra, and he, like, you know, cool, I'm looking after a zebra, it's like my child, you know? But, he was like, hey, let's go for a ride. So basically what he did is, he took a zebra and a parrot, and tried to get them into a bar.
Like, a bar that you drink at, or?
No, Cameron, he tried to walk them into a bar to,
that was terrible.
To observe
to the Cameron and Bradley show, the place where you get all your up-to-date jokes that are really funny. Anyway, so apparently he had a blood alcohol content of 0.14.
Jiminy Jillick is radioactive, man. That is mental. For those who don't really understand what that means, just about 8%. No. Yes.
He'll get there.
About 15% of his blood was alcohol.
Nice.
Yes. I've heard the story of a baby who somehow got a whole bunch of liquor and had a blood alcohol level of 0.23.
He's the equivalent of Jesus then.
How?
Well, according to the Bible, Jesus' blood was wine, which has a higher alcohol content.
That would have a content of one.
Exactly.
Okay then, anyways. So, this guy who has had a lot to drink.
What's the alcohol blood content in America?
It's 0.08.
0.08, so that's well over.
He was just under 2 times the legal limit. Anyway, so he got this parrot and this zebra and tried to get into a bar.
How did he do that? Like, would he have a stall that you put horses in and stuff, or did he put it in the back of his car?
According to the story, Cameron, he told the paper, I said, let's go for a ride. I ain't been away from the farm for almost 2 months because I've been planting corn and everything else.
I love
you
corn.
See? Corn, I hate corn.
I would
corn.
Do that. We'll talk about this in a sec later, but when I retire, I would buy a farm and I would plant corn.
Great to hear.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would...
Anyone interested in business opportunity here for planting corn when I get older?
Give us a buzz.
Ring around, and yeah, we'll have some fun. Not that type of fun, but yeah. Anyway, so continue, Bradley.
Are you sure you don't want to keep talking?
No, I'm good. I'm fine at the moment.
Okay, so basically, yeah, he tried to get into a bar. Obviously, he was refused, and then he got arrested, and because he drove, he has been charged with a DUI. You imagine?
Where did we get with the whole back in the car thing? Where did we go with the zebra in the car? Did they put it in a float, or did they have it in the back of the car?
I'm pretty sure it was the back seat.
It would look something like this.
Yes.
Now, if you can't see this, this is a horse in the back of a really crappy
1980s sort of seat.
Sorry, this is really unprofessional. But, yeah.
That's about it.
If you want to see the actual video that we're referring to, just go onto YouTube and type in horse in back of car and it'll be the first one there.
So that's about it on a man held after taking zebra, parrot to bar. Crazy stuff. Now we're going to go to the North Atlantic.
North Atlantic. I don't know what that is.
On the west? East side.
I'm horrible at geography here.
I'm basically saying going to London.
We're going to London.
We are going to London.
Let's go to London.
Our next
door. I'd like to go to London.
So would I.
Big Ben? Lord, actually, no. Big it's cold over there. I don't want to go.
What about summer? It'll be a very, very, very hot stinker of a day at 31 degrees.
Yeah, but it's 31 degrees here.
That's a heat.
It's a lot cheaper to
stay at home.
Stay at home.
Yeah. Anyways,
stuff's so expensive these days, you know? I mean, everything is so expensive, and it's just
crazy, crazy stuff. Don't worry, guys. That's gonna get edited out.
No, it's not.
Anyways, this is just unbelievably obscured that a person would do this. A man was found guilty of stealing $100,000 by dressing up as a dead mother. Basically, this guy in New York, Cameron, he thought it would be this great idea that he would impersonate his dead person to get all their sort of pension benefits.
How does that... I don't understand how that works. How do you... How do you get money if you're a dead person?
It's identity theft.
It's
basically what it is.
You get money for identity theft.
No, he stole her identity. Basically, the company.
So he pretended to be someone else who's dead.
But the place didn't know.
I get it. So
well done, Beth.
Basically, what's happened is someone's died, and then he's pretended to be her.
Yeah,
it'd be really hard to pull off to be a chick.
Just wear a wig, get some, well, ranging between mandarins and watermelons. It'd be fine.
Take a lot of background research.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, he basically...
Disclaimer.
Did it.
Not a professional. So he did it.
But he was... Just reading it. He was a friend... He was an admirer of the 1960 Alfred Hitchcock classic Psycho. You know, the one where it's like... dun, dun, when the guy stabs the woman in the shower.
And Mrs. Doubtfire.
Not Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well,
bless Robin Williams' soul.
I love Robin Williams. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, yes, of course. Anyways, I just find that absolutely amazing. The woman who died was Irene Prusik, an actress. She was 73 when she died. 2003. Wow. And they only found out in 2008. So
that's a long time to pretend that. It's like 5 years.
Yeah.
That's like, wow. Anyway, continuing on. Bradley, do you know what I have noticed today?
What?
I was playing a board game with my sister Operation, and board games are really fun. What was that?
Nothing.
Okay, anyway, so I was playing Operation with my sister, and it's very fun. Board games are so fun, you know? Like, with a world that's predominantly dominated by
technology
and video games and social media and stuff. Coming back to a board game, it almost seems innocent.
Fun. Yeah, yeah.
And it's weird because on games, you don't really look at your opponent much. You look at the screen all the time.
Mm.
But with board games, you've got that next level of...
I got you in the eyes.
Kind of, you know.
It's pure contact.
It's like... Not pure contact, but it's laying your strategy out in front of you and battling with someone. It's basically like war. Which is why I don't think I'll be good at war, because I'm terrible at board games.
Yeah, I know. Well, the funny thing is, though, is that...
If I go to war...
I like board games, but I'm not a massive fan of Operation.
Neither am I.
It just puts too much pressure on me, you know? Like...
I'm horrible at... Actually,
I just couldn't handle it if the guy died.
That'd be horrible.
Like,
I couldn't
live
with myself.
No. It would just kill me.
One thing I did notice, though, is I haven't played that game in about 5 years. Seriously, I haven't got it out of that cupboard in 5 years.
Yeah.
It's been hiding in the closet.
Tom Cruise hidden in
anyway.
The closet. Tom Cruise will come out of the closet.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I remember being really horrible at that game. And then it was so easy. So I don't know whether I was just really shit at it when I was little, or I'm too old.
I'm too old for that stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, that's board games. And I think board games are starting to become... They're evolving with media and stuff.
Yeah.
And how video games evolve. People that make board games, I think, they're seeing how video games and social networking have changed people, and they're modifying them slightly to that. I mean, when we were about 5 or 6. I think one of the only really long games was a drawn-out Trivial Pursuit or Monopoly, really. Was
Monopoly
the
is beast. I still love that.
I love that game.
Me being
it makes me depressed because I'm poor. It's a bit like real life, really.
See, now, my thing with Monopoly is that when I was a little kid, I was just like, I didn't really care for childhood. I was a bit too grown up.
I know, that's the thing about childhood. When you're little, you can't wait to grow up. And then when you get older, you're like, oh, I miss it.
I don't want pubes anymore. No, but that's the thing. Like, I got told, I can't remember it. When I was about 4, I came home from a friend's house, and the parents of, like, my friends, they said to my mum and dad, you would not believe what Bradley said today. He asked...
you can tell he was the favourite child.
He asked Hayden and Laura, who were the friend's house they went to, what is your favourite of the outer gas planets? Because at that time I was really, really interested in astronomy, and I said, well, mine was Saturn.
Astronomy was always one of those really big points, wasn't it, when we were little? It was like that big thing that everyone got interested in. It's like, oh my god, the moon! And now people completely have lost interest.
Over our lifetime of growing up, Pluto's been pissed off.
Yeah. He's a bit like the yellow wiggle that got let go.
Good job, sir.
Brad, one thing I have to say that is annoying me a bit these days in a lot... Facebook has done this in particular, and YouTube and stuff is really, I think, the adverts in it. I mean, on YouTube, most of the ads that you see are before you get a video
playing. I know, it's annoying, isn't it?
It's so annoying. I mean, I want to watch my video, and they have these ads that are playing, and half the time, I don't even care about it. Occasionally, it's a movie that I want to go see. It's got Batman in it.
Yeah,
and so,
but a lot of them just seem like pointless crap.
And Facebook, it takes up a lot of the space on your page, and that's the thing that's happening. Facebook, I really wish it didn't go down this path, but it's given in to a lot of advertising pressure.
Yeah, it seems like... Well,
it's less of a... It feels to me, and it's probably not true, but it feels to me like Facebook is becoming less of a social networking site and more of an advertising space.
Oh, not necessarily. My view is that the only real way to make internet money on the internet is to put ads up and then you get paid per view and whatever.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with Facebook was that originally it was designed that they weren't going to put any ads on there, or if they did, it would be quite minimal.
The same happened with Google, didn't it?
No.
Oh, yes. Google said they wouldn't have any advertising, and now they've got ads all over.
Okay, yeah. Now, I thought up a pretty fun game here. Well, not a game.
Hi, guys. It's Cameron and Bradley here. The segment, or game, as Bradley liked to put it, that was about to be put in, it's really, really... really boring to listen to. It's even boring to watch. It's basically Brad clicking on a random story button on Wikipedia and seeing what comes up, and then reading about it. So yeah, it's about as exciting as that sounds. So we chuck this in.
Oh my god. Do you know what I reckon the newest craze is? Guys, have a look at this. There's this video, this channel, called Shooter Williamson on YouTube. I reckon go and have a look at some of his stuff because it is really hilarious. He does mainly this thing called Loosest Aussie Bloke Ever, which is, in case you don't know, Loosest Aussie Bloke. He's playing this guy who does all this supposed crazy stuff, like going out in the sun and going outside only wearing SPF 15 plus sunscreen. Because he's crazy like that. And then that's just sort of running joke with it all, and I find it pretty funny. So I reckon these guys should go and have a look. But what he does at the end is he actually does something pretty mental.
What, Brad? What's he doing?
In the one that I saw, he did all this stuff like, went outside with only 15 SPF sunscreen on. But then he had to run back inside and get the 30 SPF plus just to be safe. He went outside not wearing any shoes, which is pretty typical for Australian bogans. Wink, wink. But then at the end, he goes, hey guys, come around and have a look at this. It's a dead kid. Don't know whose it is. So yeah, he found or killed a child.
Yep. What?
A child, yes.
It's crazy.
I know, but he started off doing all this stuff. He did stand up in Adelaide because he's from, I think it's Wollonga, south of Adelaide, which is in South Australia, which is where we're from. I'm not going to say specifically where, because Cameron's a little bit worried about getting raped.
Yeah.
Because Cameron's like this little midget guy.
Okay, anyway enough about my faults.
They're not faults, Cameron. They're just what make you special.
And my horribly pale skin.
But yeah, he originally did like some stand-up stuff, and then he did this thing called Alex's Sick-Ass Dream Team, which is pretty funny. Dream Team is a competition thing, sort of like fantasy football or stuff like that. And then, yeah, he went over to the US, now he's come back, and he's sort of doing all this crazy stuff. So I'm finding that pretty funny. What are you doing, Cameron? Aztec How?
Checking my Twitter.
As if you don't have a picture, mate.
I haven't got around to it.
That's pretty lazy.
By the way, just now that we're touching on social networking, have you noticed how much social networking has kind of formed the way we rate stuff now?
To what extent?
Well, when you think about Facebook really kind of started this, I think, because their whole like system brought in a whole new type of rating. I mean, all these other sites are trying to imitate that. I know Google's made Google a social Plus. Network. Yeah, Google Plus.
But YouTube sort of did that originally.
YouTube kind of did that.
Yeah, but they rate their videos. That's what's different.
Yeah, they rate video. And I think the thing about Facebook is, because it's such a massive, massive field, it's changed completely how things work, you know?
Yeah.
So, Brad.
Yes.
I know you're a very sporty type person, aren't you? You
Indeed, love your sport. I do.
I used to love my sport, but I prefer the indoors now. Got my PlayStation, got my PC, everything set up. So, yeah, I'm just going to... How's sport going, Brad?
How is sport going?
What are your opinions on sport?
Let's
talk about AFL.
AFL, okay. What do you think? Australian, two teams. Australian rules football.
Adelaide and Essendon. What are your thoughts about those two teams?
Well, personally, I don't like Adelaide. I'm from Adelaide, but I hate them. I don't really hate them, but they sort of annoy me a little bit. Because they had this really bad coach. Well, he wasn't that bad. He just had a bad game plan, which I didn't really like. Whereas Essendon, they're a pretty good team.
You're going to get a lot of Adelaide haters here, aren't you?
Yeah. I think the AFL in general is just doing a little bit stupid stuff. They're doing... I remember they just keep changing the rules a little bit, because what happened was is that the AFL, they brought a commission to be like, hey, we might need to change some rules if it's necessary, so we'll bring in a rules committee. And basically the rules committee was like, oh my God, this is so boring. So, let's do knee-jerk reactions and change rules to suit very sudden and only one-off things.
But see, I think the AFL has gone for more of media change, I think, because the media focuses so much on those sports players and how they act.
Yeah.
It's losing touch with the game and more inside with how people see those sports players. They're being perceived more as role models, I think, than they should, instead of being perceived as sports players.
Yeah.
And I remember the AFL, I used to stay up late watching AFL games with my dad because I didn't want to go to bed. And it was the only way mum would let me stay up. But I just remember watching all these fights on TV. And I loved watching the fights. And they're like the best bit. And I think that's where the AFL has sort of strayed a bit. They don't let as much fights out anymore.
Well, they don't want people to fight anymore. They knew what the 80s and stuff were like, and they weren't massive fans of all that stuff happening.
I wasn't a massive fan of tight shorts either. But,
but you know, I think they just were trying to encourage the players to be, you know, better with their choices and whatnot, you know? They don't want to see the AFL as a game which is just brain behind fighting, sort of like what ice hockey is.
But that's what makes ice hockey great. It's packed full of fights. I mean, you've got those ice hockey sports games, and okay, you're going to learn from listening to this podcast that I'm pretty much in love with video games. They're a big part of my life. And I don't necessarily like that many sports games, but there are two games, sports games, that I've actually enjoyed playing in my time, and they have been FIFA 09 and 2011 ice hockey game. I forgot the name, but it was 2011 and it was ice hockey. And it was great because you could start your own fights. And that's what ice hockey is all about. It's all about all these fast movement, and then just all of a sudden this fight breaks out.
And
I don't think it's all about the fighting.
Well, it's not all about the fighting, but it's a big part of it.
Mm.
And I think TV ice hockey doesn't capture that as much, but live games of ice hockey capture that quite a lot. And just touching on the subject of video games here, and I know you don't play video games that much, Brad.
No, I prefer the outdoors.
But yeah, you prefer the outdoors a lot more than I do. I like my couch. It's disintegrating around me. And anyone who sat on my couch knows how bad that is.
Yeah, it goes thugoom.
Yeah, it's got a massive hole in it. Spring goes up your bum. But yeah, you're anyone, even people who haven't played video games, they've heard about Call of Duty. You've heard about Call of Duty, haven't you, Brad?
I've heard of COD.
COD. So Treyarch and Activision, so they're the two main people who are working on it at the moment. And they're the two people who are working on Call of Duty. But the main people who own the Call of Duty franchise, they're basically saying, let's bring out a Call of Duty game every year. And when we get this up on a site, please just comment in the comment section of what your thoughts on this are. But they're saying they want to bring a game out every year. And I don't like that, Brad. I mean, Call of Duty games, they used to be pretty good, but if they're bringing one out every year, they're using the name as a selling brand and not as something that they can release good games on. I think the quality of games, I guess it would be a lot like bringing new teams, and almost like bringing new teams into the AFL every single year.
To a certain extent, but my view is I don't really like Call of Duty, to be honest. Some people might argue that, but I'll just tell you a little story. You know the guy who went on a massacre in Norway?
Yeah.
Well, he trained...
On the children?
Yep, on the children. He killed 70-odd people in Norway. And the way he trained to do that was playing COD.
Now, Brad, you're really going into a subject that I think you're going to get a bit of a fight out of me from, because I'm
true.
Passionate about
it. It's true. That's how we trained for.
If you trained on Call of Duty, that's all fine. Call of Duty is, to a certain extent, about the realism of it and how war really is.
To Mario.
But Mario was awesome. But we'll talk about that later. But, Brad, you're talking about one individual here that's played Call of Duty and said, okay, I'm going to go shoot civilians in a school. Was it in a school?
It was at a holiday camp on an island.
In a holiday camp on an island. You're talking about one guy that's got serious mental problems, and you can't blame Call of Duty
for what has happened there. Because really, it has nothing to do with Call of Duty in the first place.
Oh, but to a certain extent, it still does, though. That's the thing. Like, even though you could argue, oh, it's just a game and this is real life, you should be able to differentiate. But this guy couldn't differentiate. A lot of people can't differentiate reality from non-reality, such as video games. But I guess so.
Well, how could they get their hands on a gun in the first place if they've got those mental issues?
Well, they can. That's just what happens. Like, a lot of the time when people go in and buy guns, the customer's always right, I suppose. The person who they're buying it from just is trying to get a sale. So.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Like, the gun stores, they basically focus entirely on sales instead of whether it'll be safe.
Yeah, whether they're mentally capable or not. Oh, well. But, yeah, I think that just about rounds up everything.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's our show for today. We're not gonna promise anything next week because
we'll just see what our viewer basis is like.
We'll see what happens. So that was the first ever episode of Take Two. I'm Cameron.
I'm Bradley.
And stick around, we'll get one up as soon as we possibly can. See you next time.
See ya.
We'll not see you next time because it's audio, but beside the point, bye.
Bye bye.
Take two. Take it two. Take it two.